In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the 50 joyful days, and we all call it Thomas Sunday because we always remember the meeting of Thomas with the Lord and his doubting in the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And every time and every year in the past few years, we were talking about the doubting Thomas. But I thought to give you something different today, because there are so many important messages in the scripture today. So I want to share with you the messages from our resurrected Lord. Of course, we will mention Thomas' doubt, but there is more important things that we should know and hear and understand in our scripture today. For example, in the book of John, in chapter 20, in verses 19 to 21, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" When it says the first day of the week, in Coptic, you know, the weekdays are called by numbers. Like when we say Sunday, it means P-O-Y. P-O-Y meaning the first. Monday will be P-S-N-A-F, the second. Tuesday, P-Mashom, the third, and so on. So the first day means Sunday, the first day of the week. Sunday, and the same numbering system also in Greek. So on Sunday, like today, our Sunday today, the first Sunday after resurrection, the Lord appeared to the disciples to give them very important messages. The first one is, "Peace be with you." As you heard, the disciples were assembled in the upper room again, because they assembled before on Thursday, Covenant Thursday, when God established the covenant with us and they established the Eucharist. So they met again in the upper room, and it says the doors were shut. Why they were shutting the doors? They were very much afraid of the Jews. They thought what had been done to the Lord Jesus could be done to them too, meaning they could also be crucified or killed in some way or another. So, knowing that you are in fear, when the Lord came in their midst, he gave them peace. He felt they need that peace. He knows that every one of us on earth always have hard time and tribulations. We go through so much of troubles and afflictions, and he knows we need peace. So the very first thing when God meets us, he says, "Peace be with you." And even we learned the lesson when we meet together as families in social meeting. The first thing we do when we see each other, we say peace, salam. That's the first step. And if you wish to know how much they were afraid, look at what St. Luke described and how he described the feelings of the disciples in the book of Luke in chapter 24, verses 36 to 40. He said, "Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet." So what the message we see from here? The Lord Jesus will calm your fear. No matter what kind of fear you have in your heart, no matter what trouble you have in your heart, or wrong feeling that you are seeing a ghost that doesn't exist, God is calming your heart and giving you the peace, telling you, "Peace be with you." That was something that we all need, something the disciples needed. And we, in our life here, we all need. And to prove that, St. Paul understood the message, and he taught his disciple St. Timothy in the 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 7, and said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's God. Our loving God, our peaceful God, will always give you the spirit of strength, of power, of love, and a sound mind. He will never let Satan overpower you by deception or by fear or scare you in any way. I talked to you before about fear, and you have 4 sermons posted on the internet, and you can get a copy from downstairs, but you know that fear could be a torment, and it has been to the disciples, and they needed that peace, as we all do. We are still representing the disciples until now. We have fear one way or another in our heart, and the minute you had that feeling of fear, you must and you ought to ask God to come into your heart, dwell into your heart, and give you that peace, because God gave you the authority to tremble on serpents and scorpions, meaning those are Satan and his angels. And remember that God is always called the Prince of Peace. He is the only one who can calm your fear. He is the only one who told us before his death, like in the book of John in chapter 14 in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He knows he's going to die. He did not worry about his death in the flesh. He cares more about his children, making sure that each and every one of us had that peace from God that will last with us forever. Of course, we as human have it, but thank God that he has given us that source of prayer, asking for peace and trusting that any time you ask, God will give you. And make sure that he will give you, because he always listens to you every time you stand up for prayer. The second message that God said in the scripture today, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." So after God gave you peace, he gave you a commission. You must go and deliver this message of love and peace to everybody else. And you may wonder and ask, how did he say, "As the Father has sent me"? In what way did the Father send his Son? He sent him with the mission, and a very important mission to accomplish. What is it? We read it in the book of Luke in chapter 19 in verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Whatever was lost to Satan, souls that have been captured by Satan, souls that have been submitting to Satan and the lust of this world, they are lost. They need God. And that's how God is looking for every one of us, and he's giving all of you here in the church people, this commission that you must go and preach his name and his love to everybody and seek those who are lost. Sadly, many people think that the church only can do it. It's not true. The church is working on it, but cannot do it by itself. I have to tell you the truth. The church is all of us, this assembly of people, the Christians, those who really believe in God. This is the church, meaning each and every one of you has a responsibility to go and seek those who are lost and help the church to bring them back to God. And this mission that God has sent all his disciples and he's sending all of us will continue here in the church. God is authorizing the church and every one of us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It doesn't mean only those few who go for mission in different countries, in Mexico or Africa, like what our children are doing now, God bless. But it means even here, we have people here whom we do not know about them. Don't say the church did not ask or do their job. The church is you. The minute you mention the church, it doesn't mean Abuna only. It means everyone sitting here and listening to this sermon anytime, anywhere. And that's why God when he mentioned about this mission to all of us, he said in the book of Matthew in chapter 28, in verses 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." What other promise and good feeling that God is with you to the end. To the end, meaning even after death, when we go to heaven, we will be with Him. It doesn't end here by our death on earth. It continues. Here you have the appetizer. Over there in heaven, you will have the actual real meal. The whole meal that's full, that's very nourishing to our spirit forever. That will be when we get to heaven and with God. And that brings my third message. Stop doubting and believe. As you know, St. Thomas was not present when the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples. But as you would expect, the disciples went to St. Thomas and told him what had happened. But Thomas' response was not encouraging at all. He said in the scripture today, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." This last word, "I will not believe," in the original Greek text is written like in double negative. Double negative means, I absolutely will not believe. He is making it 100%, there is no way that he will believe. So how would the Lord deal with a doubting person? He will deal with him in much the same way he has graciously dealt with all of us. It is exactly 1 week later, and the disciples are together once again, and it is almost precisely the same scenario, except this time it is with the group. Thomas was with the group. And just as before, and the same comforting message, when the Lord appeared in their midst, he said, and he started by saying, "Peace be with you." But now please watch how he turns away from like the 99, and he gives his attention to the one who needs him most. He invites Thomas to do exactly what he said he must do in order to believe. So the Lord told him in the scripture today, in John 20, 27, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." So what an awesome display of grace that was. God sent the message to him and to all of us, stop doubting and get on believing. This is the time you as a Christian should have no doubt whatsoever. If you who is called after his name have doubts in your heart, how about those who are outside? How about those who are outside, who are not Christians? If you have doubts, I don't mean that you will not, we are human beings, but you must be strong, you must stop doubting and believe 100%. When you pray, you must believe that God is listening. When you are asking for something to be done, you must know for sure that it will be done. God promised, ask and seek and all will be given to you. So why not? You are His son, aren't you? He will do it because He promised, and we trust every single word that He promised. The evidence is more than enough to support your faith. So now you must make a moral choice. Will you choose to continue in your unbelief, or will you now choose to stop doubting and believe? Does not the Lord have to say something like that to us at all times? I think there's little doubting Thomas in all of us. The Lord understands our struggle, and He is very gracious as always. But there comes that moment when we must decide to embrace the truth and believe. There comes that moment when it is no longer acceptable to allow pain from the past to dominate the future. Stop doubting and believe. And to be honest with you, I love St. Thomas because he spoke on behalf of all of us. He was telling God what we have in our heart. But I wish we could do the same as he did when he finally looked at the Lord and said, "My Lord and my God." So are you in that state where you can admit, confess, trust, and tell God that you are my Lord and my God? Stay away from doubting. Read the Bible. Get to know all the answers. Come to church and hear the Bible study. Speak to your father of confession. But not let doubt overwhelm you and take over your mind and let you step by step go away from God. 2,000 years ago, when Thomas had some doubts, God appeared to him. The Lord Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And I have to share with you my personal thought. Believing is not seeing. It's always wrong when you hear seeing is believing. That's not true. This is not true at all. Believing is not seeing. Believing is experiencing the resurrected Lord for oneself through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and putting one's faith in action every moment of every day of your life. That is believing. We see through believing or we remain in the darkness. If this believing comes hard to you, pray and say, "Lord, please help me to believe. Help my unbelief." You must stand strong and ask for it. What's more than this, the Lord Himself give you another way of getting closer to Him. No matter how sinful you are, God established the church and give it that strong commandment. If you forgive anyone on earth, their sins will be forgiven. For you just come forward and speak to your father of confession, no matter what you did. Please remember this. There is no sin without forgiveness except the sin that you don't want it to be forgiven because you are not confessing it. Any sin, there is no sin big or small. All of them are the same. Just the minute you come and you hear the guidance of your father of confession, trust the promise that God made, not anyone else. God said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That becomes a problem when somebody stands against the church. You must come and you must confess and you must believe. And the last point, if I ask, would God come and appear to me and make sure that I am not doubting and believing? I tell you what the scripture said today to answer the question. St. John said in verse 31, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." That's John's intention behind writing the gospel. It is not just a story to entertain, it is a message of truth that is to be embraced with the same kind of personal commitment Thomas made when he addressed the Lord Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And I wish if I have delivered any message today, it would be that you have no doubts whatsoever. You believe in His promises, you believe in His word, you take His commission into your heart, and you have peace in your heart, and glory be to God, now and forever and ever. Amen.